Hi there, and welcome back to Victory Laps, part of the Throwback Thursday celebrations for the 50th anniversary of Riverside International Speedway. I'm Dylan Langell. Thanks again for pressing play online at riversidespeedway.ca or clicking download on iTunes. If you listen on iTunes, click subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Hey, we're on episode number 5, and on the show today, I'll be chatting with Ken McIsaac, and that name might be familiar to you because he's probably taking your photo at the track. He'll share some memories of his times at Riverside, but first, I'm joined by one of the best drivers to ever race at Riverside International Speedway. He also sets up the car for the celebrity drivers at the IWK 250, and he was recently inducted into the Maritime Motorsports Hall of Fame. George Koskulik is on episode number 5 of Victory Laps. He has been racing for over 40 years. He's been part of King Racing, also part of Nova Racing, and a very familiar face in the Maritime Pro Stock Tour. My guest for Victory Laps today is the legendary George Koskulik. George, how are you today?
Great. And yourself?
I'm very good, and I understand that it's lobster season, right?
Lobster season? Yes, it is.
How's that going so far for 2019?
Lobsters are good. The weather's terrible.
Because it's Nova Scotia, right?
Yes, that's Nova Scotia.
Well, for Victory Laps, George, we are celebrating 50 years of racing at Riverside International Speedway. 50 years, is that hard to believe?
Yes, it's hard to believe. I can remember going there as a little kid with my older brothers, and I was sitting in the stands watching a lot of my heroes back, I guess. Some of them still are.
So what got you into racing, George? Was it watching the local racing or maybe NASCAR on TV?
No, mostly watching the local racing. We had a track not too far from where I live called Fraser's Mountain Speedway. Back, it was dirt for a while, and then they paved it, and I'm going back into the 65, 66 range.
Yeah.
Somewhere like that. Don't hold me to that. Exactly. But anyway, my brothers always took me to that. They were older than I was. And then John Chisholm built the new one in Riverside, and of course, they dragged me down around there, and I just kind of fell in love with the sport.
And you went to Riverside for the first time in 1969 when it opened?
I would have been there when it opened, yes, with my brothers.
So what was that like compared to Fraser's Mountain? Because Bob Allen, who was on Victory Laps, talked about how it's a lot smaller than Riverside.
Well, it's like it was 40 times as good as what we had up here in Fraser's Mountain. It was just an outstanding racetrack. You know, John had, from I learned over the years, getting to know John as well as I did, he went down to the U.S., seen a lot of races, and then he took and made a miniature version of Bristol right here in Antigonish County.
Well, what was the memories of you as a fan in the stands watching those first races at Riverside?
Well, Bobby Allen, we kind of knew him. My brothers did since we were little kids. And there's another fellow, Danny Campbell. He was a local, too. Both were very competitive racers. And that got me in. And then I can remember John Chisholm coming in with a Mustang back then, and it was just something I never seen before. It's something you'd see on TV. Just, I can still remember the flames coming out the exhaust, and none of the other cars did it. I can remember it to this day, and I just got hooked on it. And we always went every weekend. In fact, we used to go to Halifax, and they used to run one night one track, and one, I think it was Sundays in Halifax, and again, my brothers took me to all them, too. So we just got hooked on it.
So what got you started into driving the cars?
Well, I just thought I'd like that. So me and a couple of my good friends that I grew up with scratched up a little money and bought an old car and geared it up. We went to Antigonish racing.
So what year was that when you started racing?
I'm taking a guess. Don't hold me to this, but I think it was 75 or 76.
And Riverside was the first track you raced at?
Yes, it was.
Oh, you're starting off big for that.
Yeah.
Because what I've asked before with Frank Fraser and Bob Allen is comparing tracks that they've raced at before, the smaller ones, but you started off with the big one.
I started off with the big one, yeah.
So what was that like as a rookie driver?
Well, just like everything else, I had to learn. Didn't run that good at first, and took quite a few years, but we got running back. We started off like not in the class where Bobby Allen and all them were. We were a class below that, and it didn't take as long, and we were in the victory lane. We did a lot of sportsman racing there, I call it, back then. We ran pretty damn well at that. And then we had a car that we converted. We'd run sportsman with it, and then we'd also go up into the next class, which Bobby Allen and them had been out of it then, but I ran a few in Halifax with it, and a few in Antigonish, and a few in Sydney.
What car was that?
If I remember right, it was an old Camaro. and we'd put headers on it, and we'd put a different carburetor on it, a bigger spoiler on it, and I'd run both classes with the same car at times.
It worked like a charm?
Well, no, we weren't running that good in the bigger class, but eventually we got going pretty good in that one also.
So at that time, were you also working with Rolly McDonald when you first started racing?
I think Rolly, don't hold me to this either, but I think Rolly got back into racing maybe in 83 or 84. Previous to that, he drove, and then he bought a new car from Junior Henley, and I was kind of kicking around and went down to see him, which I knew him through the trucking business. And first thing I knew, I was traveling with Rolly to the racetracks.
And you were his compadre, pretty much.
Yeah, like we went everywhere. We raced all over the country. We ran the U.S. We ran, like, we did a lot of racing, Rolly and I together.
And you won a race in New Smyrna, right?
Not me driving, no. Yeah, we were there with Scotty Frazier.
Right.
Rolly and I, and I worked there with Henley, and we won. We broke the track record, and Junior Henley, he was another guy from I guess, down your way originally, or down that way.
Yep.
I worked with him a couple of years in Speed Weeks in Florida also.
Oh, okay.
Did some winning with him, and I think I took Donald to Florida when he was a real young kid, just getting into racing him, and I took them to Florida too, and had we didn't win, but we had some good runs.
And good times.
And great times, yeah. Always had a good time when we went to Florida.
Oh, right on. What was it like between driving the car and then working on the car as a crew member?
It doesn't make one bit of difference to me. I have just as much thrill when Donald won a race or Rolly would win a race as I did when I won a race. Just working on the car, I was happy because, you know, the setups. I did a lot of the setups for Donald since he started racing, and, you know, we did win a NASCAR race down there. We sat in a pole twice or three times we made fast times in NASCAR, and, you know, we've been fairly competitive everywhere we went, and I said fairly competitive, you know, but we've had real good results in Antigonish. I think I have like half a dozen wins, and Donald was second to me. Now it's the opposite. He's doing the winning.
Yeah.
That's fine, you know, that's fine. Just good to, when you're working on a team, it's like a hockey team. You know, if you're the coach and you win, it's as good as playing yourself.
And over the years, what have the big changes been with the cars, with the Sportsman and then the Pro Stocks and then the NASCAR Pinty Series as well?
Well, between the Pinty Series and our late model series, there's pretty well nothing the same. Completely different monster. The late model is more like a sports car, and I call the Pinty's car more like a taxi. That's my version of them. You know, they go just as fast.
Yep.
It's just old school versus new school. Like, the Pinty's car would be more like the one you run on the street, more so than our late model car would be. Like, the suspension is basically the same as a 1990 car in the street. It's got a steering box. It's got big upper control arm, or lower control arms, and it's just more, how would you word it? It's old school.
Old school.
Yeah. It would be back like when Rolly and the guys ran 40 years ago.
We're kind of going old school. What were the differences of the driver? You're driving at Riverside, the high banks, then you go back to a track that's not as high banked, like an Onslow. What was the differences like as a driver?
Well, I didn't really. Track doesn't really mean much to me that way. When I get in a race car and put my helmet on, I just want to beat that guy ahead of me. It doesn't matter if it's on a big track, small track. I still drive the same. Never had much patience for waiting, so I just tried to, if I had a car to go to the front, I drove it to the front.
Did you use the bump and run?
If I have to.
If it's necessary.
Yes.
And yes. Riverside was statistically one of your better tracks. You have numerous top fives and numerous wins, and was it one of your favorites to really win at?
Well, I guess it's my favorite because it's my home track, I guess I call it. And you know, I have a lot of friends, family, and our sponsors that always helped us out over the years. So it's, to me, it's like, if you win a race in Antigonish, for me, it's like winning the Daytona 500.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What were some of the highlights during the 80s and 90s when you were in and out of NASCAR and those series? What were some big highlights for you?
Likely one of my biggest highlights, they took Junior Henley in from Ontario and Scotty Frazier. And myself, we were all racing over in PEI. It was a 200-lapper. And back then, I had GM Goodrich as a sponsorship. And Junior Henley, we ran his cars back in the day, kind of looked after us Maritimers. And anyway, we were racing in PEI. I think Scotty got wrecked towards the end. He was running. Junior was winning. Scotty was second. I was third. Scotty get into the wall or something. I remember going in 3 and 4, I think it was. And there's a restart towards the end of the race. And there was 10 to go. Junior was leading. I was second. Well, I drove that car down into the corner till I seen Jesus. And I made it. And I got around him. I took the lead. And I drove away from him.
Oh, you got it.
Won the race. And I got the race.
And you've said that Junior Hanley is one of your heroes.
Oh, yes. Still to this day, we talk quite often. He calls me if there's something new that comes out in the race cars. If we win a race or something run good, he calls me and congratulates us. And in fact, I'm trying to get him to come here and crew chief me this summer.
Oh, so you may be doing a little racing this summer.
Well, if we have enough people to... We're going to run 3 or 4 cars in the 250 this year.
Okay.
I shouldn't say 4, 3 cars maybe. If we have enough people to help us and I can get in mine, yes, I drive, and I have asked Junior to come and crew chief me for that race.
Well, that'd be pretty special.
Yes.
And your wrist is all healed up. I'm just kind of jumping ahead. My first race at Riverside was the 150 last year with the big pileup before we got into turn one. And you're doing well after that wreck?
Yeah, I did it again just after that, again before the 250. I was testing for it, and I broke a brake line, and I still had my cast on. Car was running very well. We're very happy with it. And I broke a brake line, get in the wall, and I hurt my wrist the second time.
Oh, geez.
So then I took the rest of the season off. I figured I got to get healed up.
And you're good to go for 2019.
As, like I say, if we get enough people and the cars are ready, I will run the 250.
And that was your first injury in like 40 years, I read before?
Yes.
You never got hurt any other time?
No, I had some scratches and stuff and sore shoulder or something, but never hurt like that. Broke my wrist, both my shoulders were hurt. And anyway, we're back feeling pretty good, so we're going to try it again.
Good. And to talk about the other driver you were mentioning there in that race, Scott Frazier. Were you working with Scott and King Racing when he dominated Riverside in the 90s?
Yes. Yeah, run with him and run against him.
So what was that like?
Awesome. We were good friends. We golfed together and we snowmobiled together. And we had a few Bud Lights together. We were pretty good friends, too. And when we went golfing, it was like racing. Who could drive the ball the farthest?
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, we hit a great friendship, Scotty and I. That's whose car, well, it was really Henley's car, but Scotty used to build them for me. And, no, we were great friends.
And as a teammate and then a competitor, what's that like on the track? Because you want to win, but you like seeing your teammates do well, too.
Oh, well, everybody's out there to win. Like when Donald and I race together, I don't give them an inch. When Rolly and I we had a few battles in Antigonish, I don't give them an inch. If I can beat them, I'm going to beat them. I can remember one evening we were racing in Antigonish. Donald was winning out a second. John's up in the tower. A restart with a few laps to go. John said, this is going to be expensive. Anyway, we went down the backstretch. Donald and I hammered down, and I took the lead, and I never looked back.
Got right past him.
I went by him, yeah. Teammate or not, he owned the car, but still, race. There's no team orders. Just go there to win.
And talking about John Chisholm and Donald Chisholm, you joined Nova Racing in 2006. What was that experience like?
I'll tell you how. You want to know how that happened?
Of course.
John used to, I went to see John one time to help us with a little sponsorship on a race car. And I went in to see him, and John asked me how much, and I told him. And he said, you're the first guy that ever walked through that door that didn't want me to pay for the racing career. I don't usually sponsor race cars, but I will. Means you're, you know, I wasn't looking for the world. I just asked for a little and I got a little. So that went on for 2 or 3 years, and I go down to see him every spring. And I walked in this spring, sat at the office, and he said, I said, I'm in to see you again about sponsorship. And he said, well, George, he said, I'm thinking of buying a race car for Donald. If I don't, I will help you out again. And I said, I'll tell you something, John. If you guys buy a race car and you ever need a hand, I'm only a phone call away. So they did buy a race car and that, and I heard they were down there practicing, so a buddy and I, we drove down to see how they're making out. So I went in there, and things weren't going that well. They were just brand new at it. Nobody knew what they were doing. So I gave them a little advice. They had the tires on backwards. That was the first thing. And anyway, I helped them a little bit, and then we just got to be a little bit better friends, and then we were racing there one night, and I won the race. And Donald didn't run that well. And Donald said to me in the trailer, he said, I think I had enough of this. And I said, Donald, I will help you out. So I started helping him a little bit on the race car, and we got him going a little better. And we got to be really good friends after that, and that's how we got together.
And you've had numerous wins. You've won a championship, and as you mentioned, a Pinty's race. What did it mean to win that Pinty's race? Because they come around, the National Touring Series for NASCAR in Canada. That's a big moment right there.
It was. I think we set fast times that day, too, if I remember right. And it was a big win for my career, just being a crew chief, or, you know, and well, it's the whole team. Like, everybody works hard on the cars. It's just not myself.
What did it mean for you to be part of Donald's 2016 IWK 250 win?
Yeah, it was awesome. I can tell you a good story on that one, too.
Please do.
We tested there, I'm saying maybe on a Wednesday night before the 250, and Donald and I, we had both our cars. I was a little quicker than Donald that night, and I said to Donald, you try my car. He said, no, I'm not driving your car. And I said, well, you own it. I said, you try it. No, I'm not driving your car. He said, I said, get in and try it. He get in and tried my car, and he was bad to the bone. He was quicker than I was, and it was like we broke the track record that night. Unofficially, there was nobody there to see it. We seen it. We were there. We had the scoreboard on. Donald went so fast in my car, I said, you got to drive my car. He said, I'm not driving your car. So I said, yes, you are. So the boys and I went over. We peeled all the decals off of my car and pulled the decals off of his car, and we had a guy come and letter it. I changed the seats, and Donald drove my car for that 250.
Wow. That's incredible. Is that a well-known fact?
A lot of people do know about it, but it was all about wanting to win it for his dad.
Yes.
I think we had, I don't know how many seconds in that race. I seen Donald lead that race straight to the end. Fleming got us on a restart with a few, two or three laps to go. We got bumped out of the way a couple of times, leading, you know, near the end. And I think we lost a cylinder, and Donald came from the back and finished second in seven cylinders. Like, we've just had so many stabs at it. It was like Dale Earnhardt trying to win the Daytona 500.
Just so many times and couldn't get it done, and you finally got it done.
Finally got it done. And I was so happy. Everybody was happy.
George, I want to do a name game with you. I did this with Frank Frazier a couple months ago. I name a driver. You give me some thoughts on that driver. Let's start with Frank Frazier. Thoughts on Frank Frazier?
Excellent driver. She got me out of the way if you wanted to get to the win.
Scott Frazier.
Awesome driver. Smooth. He was a very good guy to run door-to-door with. You know what I mean? He wouldn't run you into the wall. He didn't spin people out for the win. He was just a damn good race car driver.
Rolly McDonald.
Rolly was an excellent race car driver, too. He wasn't scared to drive her in the corner. He'd go in 3-4 car lengths deeper than most guys, and if we could get that thing to turn, he'd win the race because he's not scared of the gas battle.
Terry Clattenburg.
Awesome fellow. Taught me a lot when I first started racing in Onslow, and I have great respect for Terry Clattenburg to this day.
Don Biederman.
Ran against him a few times, hot-tempered, like myself, I guess. He would run over you just for something to do. Whatever it took to get to the front with Don Biederman.
Did you ever collide with him?
No, I didn't.
So hotheads didn't come flying at each other?
No, him and I got along very good for two hotheads. we got along very well. I really liked Don. He was a good fella.
Greg Seward.
Greg was a good guy. Raced quite a bit against Greg back in the day. Had a couple battles here and there, one night in Miramichi, but we got over it after a while. But very good driver.
Wayne Smith.
Wayne and I had our battles. He used to get halfway by and figured turn left and get by you. So after we spun him a few times, he'd drive all the way by you before you turn left. But Wayne did a lot for what he had. A lot of winning, a lot of championships, very good driver. He had a neck on him. I called him like an owl. Turn around and look at you when you're behind him.
Junior Hanley.
Again, I only raced against Junior half a dozen times, but pretty intimidating when you look in your mirror and you see him coming. You know what you're going to get if you're in his way.
And John Chisholm.
Memories of John Chisholm. I can remember the last race John Chisholm ever ran. I was, again, in the stands with my brothers, and there was a big wreck in the backstretch, and Don Biederman, Junior Henley, John Chisholm, they wrecked on the backstretch. I think that was the last time John ever raced. I can still remember to this day, pieces everywhere. The cars were destroyed.
What did it mean to you to be inducted into the Maritime Motorsports Hall of Fame last fall?
It meant a lot. You know, it showed what I did for 40 years or 40-some years, but to get me there, there's a lot of people, my wife, my family. Coley McDonald helped me a lot. Chisholm's. A lot of people really got me there. It wasn't just myself. Gave me the chances, financing in some cases, to do what I did in my own racing career. And I didn't do it myself. It was a lot of help to get me there. You know, people on the racetracks give us a place to do it, too, also.
What is your favorite memory racing at Riverside?
I'd have to say winning the 250 with Donald, I would say. That was even better than winning the Pinty's race, because we've been trying to win that son of a bitch for 10 years, and we finally got it.
I like the way you put it, George. And, George, I appreciate you hopping on Victory Laps today. Is there anything you want to say to family and friends that may be listening?
I just want to thank my family for putting up with all the time. I'm not home, and my wife just told me I'm never home. and it's just not the racetrack. You know, we're always at the cars. We work on them 12 months of the year. And it's in our blood. We're race car rats, whatever you want to call us.
Good way of putting it.
Yeah, it's just something we live still to, you know, I really enjoy. I was there today getting Donald's daughter's car ready for, we're going to test her in Halifax.
Oh, cool.
So this is the third generation of the Chisholms I've been around. I haven't helped John a lot, but John, Donald, now his daughter's involved. So we'll see if we can get her a victory this year. We were close last year, and she's just getting started, so did very well. So our big goal this year will be get her a win.
And we'll see if maybe you can slide into victory lane this year.
Oh, we're going to work on that.
Yeah.
I got to beat the boss.
Oh, for sure. George, thank you so much for joining us on Victory Laps for this episode.
Okay, thank you for the invite.
It's now time to go in the stands at Riverside International Speedway, part of Victory Laps, of course, but in this case, we're going in the infield, in the turns, and everywhere, because this guy has been taking photos of racing for many years all across North America, including at Riverside. And if you drive a car, you've most likely had your photo posted on Facebook on your birthday. Ken McIsaac joins me on Victory Laps. Ken, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Well, how ready are you for racing for 2019 at Riverside?
Oh, I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
We got the bug, eh?
Yeah, we do, yes.
So, just to start things off, Ken, what got you into racing back in the day?
Well, it would have to be my father. You know, he started racing back in 54, I guess, down here in Sydney. And then he continued in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s. So that's where I got my bug from.
Did you get the bug to drive at all?
Not really. In the 80s, as I was still a teenager, you know, I really enjoyed working on the car. And he got as much enjoyment out of driving it. So I was completely happy with that.
So you went for the photography route?
I guess so. You know, once he gave it up, you know, I still went to the races and I always had my camera with me, so I kept doing that.
Did you have like a photographer bug when you were a bit younger and just taking photos of other things and then racing kind of just happened?
Never. In fact, I don't take pictures of anything else, not even family. So it's just race cars and I don't even know where my camera's at right now. Actually, I have to dig it out pretty soon, so...
So what year would you have started doing that?
Taking pictures?
Yeah.
Well, probably when Bud Speedway in Sydney opened. That would have been 1976, and I was just a kid then, but, you know, I had my little cheap old camera and snapping pictures of cars, and none of them came out well, but anyway, I still did it.
Do you remember your first time going to Riverside International Speedway?
I do, and that would have been probably 1976, the same year that Bud's opened.
Okay.
And that was just incredible. That.
Do you have any memories of the first couple races you went to?
Well, I remember just, you know, the speeds and the high banks and the, you know, and the grandstands. Like, that's what really stands out then. But, you know, like Bobby Allen was, you know, the big name back then. And, no, it was pretty impressive, really.
And what were some highlights for you in the 70s and the 80s at Riverside? Because in 77, we got the 250, and then we had ACT come by, NASCAR, and all these series.
Well, you know, like you can go back to the beginning, you know, when John built the track, you know, that was quite a feat in itself. You know, it's so impressive that he had contacted Bill France at NASCAR. That's what really impressed me, that he wanted to build a track, and Bill France gave him all kinds of advice and even invited him down. You know, having that background of Riverside is just, it's so impressive.
And do you remember any of those races, like those NASCAR races or the ACT or MASCAR, when it was really at its height in the early 80s?
Well, 81 was the first year that NASCAR North came up. And that was, you know, I had been to Oxford prior to that, Oxford, Maine, and that's the only place I'd ever see these guys. So, you know, seeing guys like Dick McCabe and Robbie Crouch run, that was quite a thing. And Beaver Dragon, who was a big name back then, he had set fast time both days, and he beat the track record. I think he beat Hanley's fast time. And that always stood out with me. That.
When did photography become a big thing for you with the racing as a fan? Like, when did that come really together for you?
I always took pictures, but in 1999, I wrote a book on the local racing here in Sydney from the 60s. And I had such a hard job trying to find photos from back then. And after that, I said, I am going to take as many pictures as I can of all the cars I can, just to have those memories. And that's what really made me try to get every car that I possibly could, just to try to find photos of of the 60s cars, you know, because not everybody had a camera back then,
right?
And I found it so scarce.
It's not like today where you can snap 1,000 photos in your phone and say, well, I like that one, I like that one. With the film, it's okay, I got only so much photo time here, I got to take a really good one.
Exactly.
Is there any, like, kind of a thought with taking photos? Because, you know, with the iPhones, you can do a point and shoot, but you're using film or a high-tech camera. What goes into taking good photos of race cars?
That's hard to say. You'd probably have to ask, one of the professionals, I guess, on that. But I just try to, you know, watch where the sun is. And I like a good pan shot, you know, following the car and snap, and then just to get the car in motion. That's really it for me, just watching, you know, make sure there's good light.
And let's talk about you and your experiences at Riverside. What are some of your favorite memories at the track?
There's so many. Like, jumping ahead a bit, when in 1983, when Ernie McLean leased the track, and he brought in the Dukes of Hazzard class, that was that entry-level division,
right,
that just took off across the Maritimes, including down here in Sydney. That's when my father and I raced, actually. And it was such a hit all over the place. And to see them, like, they used to start like 4 and 5 wide.
Really?
At Riverside. It was just amazing.
So how many cars would have been showing up 4 or 5 wide?
Well, that was just for the feature, more for show, really, but
right,
then maybe they'd break up. But, you know, they would easily get, you know, 75 cars in the pits, you know, at the peak at Riverside during that era. It was just amazing.
What about the 1977 250 race? Did you attend that?
Yes, I did.
What was that like?
That was something else there. They had, I think there was 34 cars showed up. There was more in 78. But that one, that was just incredible. That, just to see all those Ontario cars down. That was when, Jerry Lawrence and Ron King promoted that race. And it was something else. Just to see those out-of-town cars, you know, we were so used to seeing the Maritime cars, and just to give you an idea how big that race was.
And what about some highlights for you working with Riverside, technically? There's been so many big events that have happened over the years, including coming up here in 2019.
You know, the 250s are always exciting. There's, you know, in the air, it's just everybody's happy, and it's such a festive atmosphere. But, you know, even the regular tour events, the sportsman races, I love those. And the mini stock tour, they're putting on some great shows. And even the Canadian series, I really like that as well.
What about some drivers that you like watching?
There's so many there.
So many to choose from.
So many to choose from, yeah. Like, the NASCAR drivers, you know, my God, they were so... Scott Frazier was such a pleasure to watch. He knew every little... mark in the pavement, it seemed like, and he was just incredible there to watch. Street stock drivers, John Livingston, the McGraths, guys like that, they just really, Doug Roberts was another name that I used to really enjoy watching in the street stock up there. Sportsmen, Kearns McDonald, Mark Jordan, Carl Green, a lot of those guys, Dale Richardson, they just really owned that place.
What are you looking forward to in 2019 at Riverside? I'm assuming you're going to be there with your camera.
I'll be there, yeah. More good racing, I hope. So, yeah, it should be a really good season. Looking forward to it.
And where can the fans find your work? You're always posting on Facebook, as I mentioned, birthdays or photos from the past. Where can race fans see your work?
Checkers to Wreckers, after any, events I attend, I'll make up a gallery and post it on there, and just to show off some different angles that maybe their, fans don't normally see. But the Facebook birthday greetings, that started probably when I first joined Facebook, and the people who have birthdays really appreciate that, and that makes me happy. So
hey, if it makes you happy, it makes everyone happy, right?
That's right.
And if I'm there this year, can you make sure you get a photo of my good side?
No problem at all.
Ken, thank you so much for hopping on this section of Victory Labs. And yes, we look forward to seeing you this year at the track taking photos.
Thanks, Dylan.
A big thanks again to Ken McIsaac and George Koskulik for sharing their memories at Riverside. And I'm looking forward to seeing them both this summer and also next month, because it's almost time to go racing once again at Riverside. The season opener for the 50th anniversary is on Saturday, June 8th, when Kaylee Honda presents the Triple 50s. Now, this is a throwback-style event which will see the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour drivers go door-handle to door-handle in a 150-lap feature. With a little twist, the field will be stopped on the track after completing 50 laps, and also at the 100-lap mark, a random draw will determine if the running order will be inverted fully, maybe only half the field, or not at all. The race results will be scored and points will be awarded in the order the cars cross the finish line at lap 150, and also the leader of laps 50 and 100 are going to receive a $500 bonus in addition to the winnings they earn based on their finish order. And this is going to be a really exciting way to kick off things for the 50th anniversary. There will be a brief ceremony marking the opening of the 50th season, and fans, you're going to find an enhanced at-track experience with special displays and decorations paying tribute to the past five decades at Riverside International Speedway. In addition to the Triple 50s, the Napa Sportsman Series are going to kick off their season with the Henry's Auto Pro 75, and advanced reserve tickets and also general admission tickets are now available for the event. Reserve seating is only sold in advance, so that won't be sold at the gate on race day, and there are plenty of free spectator and RV parking options available. Get your tickets online at riversidespeedway.com. And this is a great way to kick off the May long weekend, celebrating 50 years officially. On May 18th, 1969, Riverside Speedway held its grand opening. And this Saturday, May 18th, we're celebrating our 50th birthday with a one-day-only sale, offering you a whopping 50% off all official Riverside International Speedway merchandise in the online store, including the new Riverside International Speedway 50 hats and t-shirts, and the Riverside Speedway established 1969 items. All you have to do is enter the code 69MAY18, 69MAY18 at the checkout to apply the 50% discount. And after the Triple 50s, we move on to the biggest race of the year, the IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. Starting on Thursday, July 18th, we have the IWK 250 tailgate party concert featuring the godfather of East Coast blues, Matt Minglewood, and his band. Tickets are only $20 for adults and they're $10 for youth aged 8 to 18, or it's included for free with the IWK 250 weekend pass. Regarding the camping situation at the IWK 250, looks like we are full to the brim. We are at full capacity, including in the overflow section, and the only sites available between now and the event will be if someone cancels their reservation. And everyone who has reserved a campsite should have received a confirmation email with their site number. If you have not received the confirmation, please email info@riversidespeedway.ca as soon as possible. IWK 250 lap sponsor packages are still available. There are five different packages starting just at $100, which includes a one-lap sponsorship, IWK 250 weekend pass, and your choice of a Riverside International Speedway 50 hat or t-shirt. And there are a limited number of laps available, so don't wait if you want to do this. When they're sponsored, they're all gone. And of course, you can get your weekend pass for the IWK 250 Super Race weekend online at riversidespeedway.ca, and that includes everything: the test and tune, the tailgate party concert on Thursday, July 18th, the Maritime Legends Challenge 50, and the Henry's Auto Pro 150 on Friday, July 19th, and then the 2019 edition of the IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. Of course, this is all part of the 50th anniversary celebration sessions with Throwback Thursday online on Facebook and on Twitter, which is going to be running all year. You will find tributes, trivia, and more on our website and social media pages, all geared to pay tribute to those who have made a significant contribution to our history. And if you have a suggestion, we would love to hear it. If you have old photos or videos, particularly between the years 1969 to 89, we would love to see them. Give us the details at info@riversidespeedway.ca. Hey, and if you'd like to share some of your memories at Riverside International Speedway, you can hop on Victory Laps. Just email info@riversidespeedway.ca. The checkered flag is waving. I'm Dylan Langell. Thank you for listening to Victory Laps, and we hope to see you at the racetrack on June 8th when Kaylee Honda presents the Triple 50s.